Let's go to Hosea chapter number 10, please. And I want to read from verses 1 down to verse number 13, but specifically we'll be looking at verse number 12 to 13. In chapter 10, Hosea is speaking to the children of Israel, and the judgment of destruction is upon them. And Israel is likened to a fruitful vine, and they had a fruitful vine, but a fruitful vine that is now empty. And it's not the good fruit, as it were. It's almost saying that they were so fruitful, but they were empty now because all their prosperity they used to further their idolatry. So they were fruitful in that they had much, but all that they had, they wasted it on idolatry. And the Lord says that He would. Israel's heart was divided. Their idolatry had divided their heart. They were no longer fixed upon God who made them and the God of the covenant that He had made with them. So the Lord says, I will break the necks. I'll break down the idols. It's literally talking about the breaking of the neck of the idols and the altars. He'll spoil their images. And the people had become so corrupt. They had spoken words in verse 4, swearing falsely in making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up. God is seeing, exposing the sin of His people here. Verses 5 to 6 talks about the fact that the Assyrians will come and they would be God's, I guess, tool of judgment to bring upon Israel. And as the Assyrians would come, the people would mourn. But they would mourn not only for the judgment, that they would be mourning because Assyria would take away their idols. And they'll see their golden calves, as it were, just going off into Assyria. And they'll be mourning for their idolatry. It's what it talks about. It talks about the calves there. It's talking about the idols that they made, the calves. I just think to myself, what did they forget? Did they not get the memo that in Exodus chapter 32, the golden calf and the calf idolatry brought the judgment of God upon Israel, where God almost wiped them out in the wilderness? I mean, it's so sad that the sins of God's people are often repeated after several generations. Anyway, so here God says that the idols will be taken away and the people will be so sad to see the glory of their idols going away. That's how corrupt these people are. The judgment will come from God, but they'll be so sad that their own idols are going away, that they're being carried off into a foreign land. And the judgment will be swift and complete, verses 7 and 8. And the altars, the judgment, God's judgment will be so complete that even the altars on which they worshipped will be covered with thorns and thistles. Those altars won't be used anymore for worshipping false gods. And it will be so intense, the judgment of God, that they would cry out, cover us, and to the hills fall on us. Doesn't that remind you of Revelation chapter 6, verse number 16, where they also said the same thing when the wrath of the Lamb had come, and they said to the mountains, you know, fall on us, and unto the hills they hide themselves from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, here is the wrath of God coming out upon Israel, and they will respond the same way, saying to the mountains, cover us, they just want to hide, they just want to flee, but they're just reaping what they have sown. And God will chasten Israel, verse 10 and 11, because they have continually rebelled, and they had tied themselves to their sins. And God will use these enemy nations as, I guess, the vehicle of His judgment upon the children of Israel. But as we go to verse number 12, we see a principle that God lays, and God pleads makes a plea to the children of Israel. And I believe that God makes this plea to us today as His people. I believe it's a principle that applies to us in our day as even Christians, that we must also understand this principle. I believe the heart of God has not changed towards the sin of His people. He still feels the same way to the sins of the church as He did to the sins of Israel. He still is grieved in the same way for the sins of God's people today as He was back then. And I believe He has the same call to the people of God today as He did to the people of Israel. And it was almost like a call to revival. And God here looks to Israel and He calls them to revival. He calls them to a new life, to turn over, as it were, a new leaf. Look at the principle here and God's plea beginning in verse number 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. God pleads with them and He pleads to them and says, why don't you sow to yourself seeds of righteousness? He's talking about their lives. Israel had been sowing seeds of wickedness and corruption in their lives. And God's saying, well, this is why you're going to reap what's going to come upon you because of that. But He's saying, sow to yourselves, exhorts them, sow to yourself the seed of righteousness. And we as believers, we must never forget the fact that we are sowing in our lives day by day and moment by moment. Every day you are sowing seed into the heart, into your own heart. What you allow your eyes to watch is sowing seeds into your heart. What you allow your ears to listen to is sowing seed into your heart. What you allow your feet to go to those places are sowing seeds into your heart. My challenge, I guess, to you this morning, people of God, is sow to yourselves righteousness. Righteousness. The children of Israel sowed to themselves the seed of destruction, and therefore the judgment of God was coming. And it was coming upon them because they had sowed to themselves these things. We need to sow to ourselves the seed of the Word of God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Oh, how does it dwell in me richly? Well, I keep sowing the seed of the Word in my own heart as I dwell and meditate and memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Or just like a seed is hid in the ground, so God's word ought to be hid in our hearts that I might not sin against thee. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditating in it day and night, sowing to yourselves the very truths of the Word of God, sowing to yourselves righteousness. We can also sow the seeds of obedience. We sow the seed of the Word of God, but God's Word calls for obedience. And as we obey God, it's as if we're sowing a seed of righteousness in our lives. Every time we obey the promptings of the Spirit of God, every time we hear the Lord telling us to do something and we in sincerity obey Him, not out of duty as it were, but out of love and out of thankfulness to our God, we are sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Our acts of kindness to one another is sowing a seed of righteousness in our hearts. The love, patience, self-control, sowing the seeds of righteousness in our hearts, the giving, the serving, the praising, the submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God is sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Thanking God for His great provision, that's sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Rejoicing evermore, that's sowing the seed of righteousness in your heart. Honoring your father and mother, honoring those in authority, honoring one another as we love one another and serve one another. Seeking forgiveness with those that we have offended and those that we have wronged is sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Bearing one another's burdens and fulfilling the law of Christ is sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Surrendering our will to God is sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Being a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, is sowing the seed of righteousness in our hearts. Amen. My friends, we must sow. We must sow and we must sow, but it must sow the seed of righteousness. The seed of righteousness. Oh, that was opposed to Israel sowing the seed of idolatry and wickedness and envy and strife and anger and pride. And they were just an actual mess in the sight of God. And God's saying, this is what you're sowing. But He challenges them and charges them, sow to the seed, sow seeds of righteousness. My friend, sow. Brother, sister, sow seeds of righteousness because they're not going to be sown unless you sow them. They're not going to fall out of the sky, my friend. We must give diligence to sow in our lives the seed of righteousness. Make time to be holy. Speak off with our Lord. That's what we must do. We must make time to be holy. We must make time to seek our Lord. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Oh, you must make that hour of prayer, that time where we set aside to seek God and His face. Things don't just happen on their own. We must sow to ourselves righteousness. We must sow the seed of righteousness. Be diligent, my friends. My brothers and sisters, be earnest, be zealous to sow to yourself the seed of righteousness. Because what you sow is what you will reap. He said, sow to yourselves the seed of righteousness. And look what He says here. Reap in mercy. Oh, how when we sow to ourselves righteousness, the harvest is mercy. God's mercy. God's loving kindness shown toward us. There will be a great harvest of the mercy of God, and the loving kindness of God will be manifested towards us who sow in righteousness. Israel had sown in wickedness, so God had to only bring chastisement and judgment upon the land because they had sown to themselves those things, and God had to give them what their hands were sowing. This is the law of God. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But God has a harvest of mercy. God has a harvest of blessing and grace and fruitfulness and beautiful joy in the heart of those that sow to themselves seeds of righteousness. And he says, sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. And you know what? It takes time once you sow the seed to see the produce. Harvest sometimes doesn't come overnight, does it? It often takes much time and effort and diligence. And so it is, we must wait upon the Lord. Maybe you've been sowing seeds of righteousness in your life, but you've seen some fruit, but it's not exactly what you had expected. Keep sowing, my friend, and keep waiting. And keep sowing and keep waiting on God, and the reaping and the harvest will come. The harvest will come. The harvest will come because God has promised that it will come. The harvest will come because God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. The harvest will come because God is faithful and just. He will do all that is right. The harvest will come because God is a God that rewards our service. God is a God that rewards that which is done in righteousness. Patience is required, but the principle is true. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Amen. That's a sure reward. Amen. You ever wondered about where the reward is? It's a sure reward for those that sow seeds of righteousness. In this life and in the life to come, my friend, God will not forget those that sow in righteousness. He said that they will reap in mercy. They will reap in and harvest in a great bundle of mercy of God and blessing from God. And God's hand and his face will shine upon them. So you can have a harvest of God's loving kindness upon you, but you must obey the principle. Because God sets forth a principle here, and he pleads with his people, sow to yourselves in righteousness. And then he tells them of the produce. You'll reap in mercy. That's what will come. Do you believe that? Because many of people of God today don't really believe this truth. We say it, we speak of it, but we do not believe it. You say, how do you know this? We don't believe it. Because our mouths say, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Our mouths say, sow in righteousness and reap in mercy. In fact, we tell people that if you come to Jesus and you get saved, then God will do a work in your life. Amen. Praise God. That's true, because we're saying if that seed is sown in your heart and you receive it, here will come the good fruit. And we tell other Christians that, you know why you're not joyful in the Christian experience? It's because you're not sowing to yourselves unto righteousness. But many of God's people say these things, but their feet show going in another direction. They say that whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. But then the time comes in our lives where they say, why is my life so miserable? Why don't I have any joy? Why don't I have any peace? Why is it that I just can't get this victory in my life and have this blessing of God upon me? What's going on here? What are you sowing, my friend? What are you sowing? What are you sowing? Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Think diligently and make effort to make sure that you sow to yourselves in righteousness. Oh, how many people of God today say, I don't know what's wrong with me, I'm miserable. And I just feel like saying, what have you been listening to all week? Rock music? Mm-hmm. Been listening to the filth of this world and things that just will unsettle your spirit and give you a noisy soul? No wonder you have no peace in your heart. You've been sowing to yourselves unrighteousness all week. Oh, I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, I've got this problem where I'm just swearing all the time. Well, how about we stop listening to Hollywood movies that are swearing and blaspheming our God in our very faces? And that's why it's happening. We're sowing to ourselves corruption and wickedness and vileness. And all of a sudden we're thinking, what's going on? Why is it coming out this way? Why is God punishing me? Or why don't I have any joy and peace in my life? Well, let me ask you, have you bitterness in your heart that you haven't yet asked God to forgive you of? Is there people that you need to reconcile with that you have not taken the time to go out of your way and say, I was wrong when I failed you then and I need to make that right? Is there situations in your life that you know you haven't been seeking God about and you've been going your own way? That's sowing to yourself in corruption, and then it produces confusion. And what's going on in my life? Well, look at the principle of God. Get sowing to yourselves in righteousness and you'll reap in mercy. The Christian life is not complicated. God sets forth very basic principles, but we must believe them and obey them. How do you sow to yourself? It's very important. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Often the produce of our lives, and we wonder about what is coming out of our lives, all we have to do is go back and see where we had been sowing seeds in the past. And that's very true. We must be careful that when we sow to ourselves, we sow righteousness. Sow what God wants to put in our hearts. The nation of Israel was idolatrous. They were sowing idolatry. Their hearts were divided against God. And they were doing all these things. No wonder God was against them. Why would it be any different for us today? Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. There's no difference there. God will seek to get his attention of his people. And he often does that by a troubled soul or unsettled spirit. And he's trying to get us attention to our minds to fix our hearts on this principle that I need to be sowing righteousness. What is it, my friend, that's troubling you? Go back and see what you've been sowing and start sowing righteousness and start sowing that which will bring in a harvest. This is what God is asking the children of Israel to do. Quit sowing to yourself filth, start sowing to yourself righteousness. And he sets forth the principle. But this principle can only be obeyed, I believe. There's some preparation that comes before this principle. And that's the next part of this verse. And I believe there's the order here is perhaps not necessarily an order in per se, but all these things need to take place. But I do believe that the next part here is very important. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. I believe God sets forth the principle. But now he talks about the preparation for fulfilling this principle. Look what he says. He says to them, break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Break up your fallow ground. There must be preparation of the heart before we can sow the seeds of righteousness in it. The fallow ground must be broken up. Here he likens our hearts to a field, and our hearts are like a field and soil. And the fallow ground is that which had been digged up, but then it had for a year or over a year had not been touched. So therefore it was rained upon and hardened again. And it was a very, there had been weeds in there and all these other, weeds and other things, rocks and stones had got into the soil. So it had been plowed, but then over a year, no cultivation to the land, and it got hardened and weeds and all of that was overgrown. And this is what they call the fallow ground. And God says to the children of Israel, break up the fallow ground. Break it up. Get at work in the fallow ground. It hasn't been plowed for over a year. And he's saying your hearts are like that fallow ground that has been hardened and it's been filled and overgrown with weeds and thorns. And then he's saying there's been much sowing and the contrary of the will of God and all the obstacles have come into the heart of the people of God. And he says, break up the fallow ground. It's time to get to work. Let's start digging. Let's start plowing. Let's start working on our hearts. Our hearts must not be hardened. Can't just say the fallow ground needs to be broken up. And the reason why it needs to be broken up is because it's hardened. It's hardened. It's been sitting there for a year untilled. And that's like the lives of many of God's people today. Their hearts have been hardened for a long time. God had spoken to them of something months ago or years ago. And God was plowing at their hearts. But then over a year now, they haven't, as it were, done anything with that. And they've just gone hard again, hardened their hearts against the Lord, like the nation of Israel. And God says, okay, we need to start breaking up the ground again. We just need to start breaking up that hard soil. We need to prepare the heart for the sowing of the seeds of righteousness. We cannot sow seeds of righteousness in our lives when our hearts are hard. There is something very important in the Christian life that we need to understand if we want to ever experience revival in our hearts is that we must have a broken heart. The Bible says, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God is looking for a man that trembles at his word. One whose heart is contrite and broken towards God and his word. God wants a broken heart, as it were, not a heart that is hardened and it hasn't been touched for years, as it were, and it's just become callous and cold and hard, and God just wants to penetrate that heart and break up the fallow ground so we can start sowing seeds of righteousness in there. So we need to break up the fallow ground. What was it that made their hearts hard? Well, their rebellion against God. God had spoken, God had told them, yet they had rebelled and they were a stiff-necked people and they would not move from their way. Is that your life today? Well, you know in your heart God has been trying to get attention about something. He's been working on an area of your life, but you're stubborn and hard, and it's like that fallow ground. And God says, it's going to need some breaking up, my friend. We're going to have to start breaking up that fallow ground. I urge you, my friend, break up the fallow ground.
Many of us are sowing seeds of righteousness and seeds of righteousness, but we're sowing it in our hearts that is hard. And we wonder why it's not going in and things aren't happening. My friend, break up the fallow ground. Find out the places where you've failed God and you come before God with a broken and a contrite heart and say, God, my heart is hard. It needs to be broken. Break me, O God. Lord, my heart's been taken away by the idols, Father. My heart's been taken away by the things that displease you. Lord, break up the fallow ground. And you help the Lord. You and the Lord work that together. God will point it out. That's the one. That's the weed. Oh, you get the weed killer, my friend. Spray it. Amen. Amen. Well, you dig it out. God shows you, oh, but do you remember that when I told you about that? Okay. All right, Lord, we're going to get that one out. Oh, do you see that rock there? That rock? That stone of unforgiveness? Yeah, okay, Lord, I got to get that one out. Oh, do you see that idol that you haven't yet torn down in your life yet? And I've been trying to get your attention about it for years and years. Oh, but it's nobody else's idol yet, but it's your idol. And it's taken the place of God in your life. Get rid of it. And God says, okay, Lord, I'm going to get rid of that one. And this is how God wants to break up the fallow ground in our hearts. And we must be ready and diligent to understand that very truth, that the fallow ground must be broken up before any seeds of righteousness can be sown. And I believe there's many of God's people that go about doing everything that they know what to do in this book, but their hearts are hard. They do it simply out of religion and out of duty because they have learned to do it. And many in a Christian home has been that way because we grow up, and I was born in a Christian home, we grow up knowing what to do. We grow up knowing prayer. We grow up knowing the Word of God. We not grow up knowing those things that are right to do, and therefore we do them, but our hearts can be so hard and so stubborn. And God says, okay, we need to break up the fallow ground. There just needs to be a breaking of the heart before God and before you can sow any seed of righteousness in there that's going to bring forth fruit unto God. The heart must be broken. O children of God, allow the plow of God's Word to dig in your heart. And wherever we hit a rock, you say, okay, Lord, yes, that's right, needs to go. Yeah, you're going along and plowing and you just feel like you hit a bit of a dead end. Ah, that's the idol. Let's clear that one out, Lord. Let's keep plowing. Let's keep plowing, breaking up the fallow ground because it hasn't been cultivated for you. Can I say, when was the last time you cried out to God? When was the last time you just stopped and said, oh, Lord, I can't do it? When was the last time you said, Lord, you know, I'm guilty before you, Lord. My heart's been hard. When was the last time you told the Lord, Lord, I'm getting a bit cold? Oh, Lord, I'm getting a little cold. Break up the fallow ground, my friend. Break up the fallow ground. For thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 4:3, to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, and burn that none shall quench it, because of the evil of your doings. It's hard to sow seed into a hard ground. The heart must first be broken. The heart must first be broken. You know how many times in my Christian life I've been going on doing those things that I know have been right to do. And just doing everything that I know what's right to do. I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years or 13 years, whatever it may be, however long you've been saved for. And you've been just doing it and you know what's right to do. But you've got to get to the point sometimes where I get to the point sometimes I realize, okay, Lord, hang on, my heart is a bit hard here. Yeah. I'm in church every Sunday, but my heart is hard, oh God. Yeah. Lord, I'm in prayer praying every Wednesday, but there's something wrong with my heart. I know there's something wrong with my heart. It's not soft. Lord, I know that I'm helping people and working with people, but Lord, my heart's not soft in love for them and compassion for them. I don't feel to weep over them as Jesus wept over the lost when he saw them as a sheep without having a shepherd. And I ask myself, Lord, oh, my heart. And God says, break up the fallow ground. There's something in there. There's something in there that's hindering that heart from being soft and ready for the seed. I want to encourage you, brethren, to make preparation of the heart before the seed is sown. Break up the fallow ground. Get to work, digging and working, because God told Israel, if you want to ever experience revival and turn back to me and know my blessing upon you, you must break up the fallow ground. God cannot revive a heart that is hardened. They must be broken first. They must be broken. It's the same way when you got saved. When you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were broken. But for some of us, that is the only time we have known brokenness in our Christian experience. And that is not right in the sight of God. We must be have a broken and a contrite heart where God can work and we can sow seeds of righteousness in there. That's the reality. For many of us, we've only been broken at the point of our salvation and we have not seen much breaking since then. But can I just say that was just the beginning of many times where God just wanted to break our hearts. Not break it in the way of a relationship where you feel down and out and you feel like you just want to, you know, throw yourself off the balcony. Not that kind of breaking. When we talk about the breaking of God in the breaking of our heart, it's God breaking through into your heart that where that idol was and where that hard soil is that needed to be broken, God takes the place there. And it's soft and it's sweet and it's precious and He fills that place. The breaking of the fallow ground is not against you, it's for you. The breaking of the fallow ground will help you reap mercy. The breaking of the fallow ground will open up your heart once again to God, that He can work in you and speak to you and minister to you like He once did before. The breaking up of the fallow ground is so that when you pick up that hymn book and sing, you no longer just sing the words, but your heart rejoices in God your Savior. That's breaking up the fallow ground. That's what it's there for. That's why we must break up the fallow ground, because when we serve God and worship God, we know God. It's not a matter of just going through the motions. We must break up the fallow ground. How's your heart, Christian? How is your heart today? Is it hard? Is it callous? Is it cold? You know, when you get a callus on your fingers, I've been practicing the guitar in the last few years, and the first time I put my fingers on those strings, oh boy, it was terrible. Even had a little bit of a cut on them at one stage. But now they start to get a little callous and a little hard. Probably not as hard as some of you who play the guitar. I need to keep playing. But as I play now, I don't feel much pain on the strings anymore. My mind, when I press against those strings, my mind doesn't send signals of pain to my fingers any longer. It's almost like the communication is gone. And that's because of the callousness of the fingers. And that is like our hearts if we don't break up the fallow ground regularly and be broken before the God regularly and come before God regularly, our hearts will become callous and hard and God will try and speak to us, but we just won't feel it. God will try and work on us, but we just won't hear it. God will try and say something to us, but it'll be such a distant voice and we'll get to a place in our lives where we think, why is it all going on like this? God says, break up the fallow ground. Haven't heard from God in a while? Break up the fallow ground. Haven't heard the Spirit of God prompt you in a while? Break up the fallow ground. There's something there in the soil. The soil hasn't been tilled for over a year. Christian, when was the last time your heart's been plowed by God? Really plowed by God. Oh, pray God, plow my heart. And show me where those things are, Lord, that I can just remove them. Those idols, those lusts, those desires, those things that take the place of God. Lord, show me where they are. Break up the fallow ground. And I believe this is the first step to revival. There must be a breaking of the fallow ground, the preparation for sowing of the seed. And also there must be a seeking of the Lord. Look at verse number 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Inquire of God. To search after God. To seek the Lord, to pursue God. We can sow seed of righteousness. We can break up the fallow ground. But God won't move in a mighty way in our lives unless we seek Him. Unless we pursue Him. The pursuit of God. The searching after God. It must be a drawing nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. But draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Seek the Lord while He may be found. O sinner, come to Christ while you may find Him. Tomorrow may be too late for you to come to Jesus Christ. You may not even have another hour to live. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. It's like plowing up the field. It's like getting rid of those, breaking up the fallow ground, and let him return unto the Lord, seeking the Lord, coming after the Lord, searching after God. My friend, have you sought after God? Have you sought after God for the saving of your soul? Have you sought after God for the forgiveness of sins through our Lord Jesus Christ? Have you been broken like that fallow ground and sought after God? Because now it's time to seek the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation when they were tempted in the wilderness. As the Israelites were, don't harden your heart. Don't make the soil hard today if you hear the voice of the word of God. Let the seed come into the heart, be softened, break up the fallow ground, because it's time to seek the Lord. If you haven't been saved today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I urge you by the grace of God and by the mercy of God that look to the cross. That Jesus who hung there, died not for his sin but for our sin. Because he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Repent from your ways. Turn to Jesus Christ, the one who loved you and gave himself for you. We must. That's the beginning of our seeking after God. The Bible says to the unsaved, there's none that seeketh after God. So therefore, my friend, when the Spirit of God touches your heart and drives you to that place of repentance, seek after God. Seek after God and you will find him. It's time to seek the Lord. Deuteronomy 4 verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It says here, thou shalt find him if we seek after him. But notice those words, with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Seek the Lord, Psalm 105 verse 4, and his strength, seek his face evermore. Amos chapter 5 verses 4 and verse 6 and verse number 8. Each one of those verses says, seek ye me and ye shall live. Seek the Lord and ye shall live. In verse number 8, seek him that maketh the stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Listen, the Lord is his name. Will you seek the Lord? Will you seek him? I know that he seeks after us, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. But we have a duty, my friend, once we've been born again, to seek after God, to know the one whose name is the Lord, to search him out, to get to the place in your heart where you are looking for more of him. Where you get to the place in your heart where you are searching and inquiring and seeking after and pursuing in your heart God. You must seek the Lord. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Matthew 7. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every man that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Will you seek after God? What are you seeking after? What is it that you're searching after and looking for and, as it were, trying to find something to fulfill your life? Seek after the Lord. What is it, O Christian, that you're just looking for? The answer in life, the answer is right before you. It's the Lord. Seek after the Lord. Oh, my friend, seek after Jesus. Seek after the Lord. Get to know the God who made you and made the stars and the heaven and the seas and the land and our very being and our fingerprints. Seek God. Seek him that sits on the throne. Seek him whose name is wonderful. Seek him who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. Seek him who never faileth. Seek him, the God of wisdom. Seek him, the God of love. Seek him, the God of authority and power. Seek him, the God who knows all things. Seek him, God. Seek him, the God of gods. Seek him, Jehovah. Seek him, the one that made you for his own glory. Seek him. Seek him, my friend. Seek him, brother. Seek after him, sister. May our hearts be so burdened to search for the one that made us. Oh, but I know him. Keep seeking after him. Oh, because we don't really know him. The Apostle Paul said, oh, that I might know him. What do you mean, Paul, that you might know him? Don't you know him? No, we need to seek God. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. We have not attained to seeking our God. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow. Today is time to seek the Lord. Not another moment now our hearts must seek after God. Not another week should pass. Our hearts today must seek unto God. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord because it's time that we get done and through with this mess and corruption and this cold, callous carnality in our own hearts. It's time now to seek the Lord. It's enough. It's time. It's time. Today, it's time now to seek God. Do you seek Him? Because if you're not seeking Him, you're seeking something else. Your own glory, your own profit, your own benefit, a better family, a better car, a better house, seeking for your own wisdom and your own plans and your own name, as it were. Oh no, seek the Lord while He may be found. We must seek after God. There is never, ever a time where God is going to revive His people if they are not willing and ready to seek after Him. There must be a seeking of God. In every great revival, there's always been a people that have sought God. Sought the face of God, sought God in an intimate way, sought God until God revealed Himself to them in a very special way in their hearts that they knew that this is the presence of the Lord. Seek the Lord. Don't be content with where you're at in your understanding and knowledge of the Lord, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But grow, continue to grow, keep on seeking, keep on asking, keep on knocking, and God would show you Himself. But do you seek Him? Many of us won't seek God because we don't feel that we need to seek God. And that's one of the most foolish positions that we can ever be in. That's being back at the place of the fallow ground that needs to be broken up. That's being back at the hardened heart. The hardened heart will not seek God. Perhaps he would do what he knows is right to do, but he won't seek God. He won't search after God. He won't pursue God. Our hearts must be so desperate for God, desperate for the Lord. How desperate are you to know your God? How desperate are you to get to know the one who loves you and made you? How desperate are you to get to know the one that died for you? There must be a desperation in our hearts to seek after God. And we don't think that we need to. My friends, you don't know what you're missing out on. You don't know the God then that you're meant to be seeking. For anyone that has tasted and seen that the Lord is good, oh, they'll be seeking for more of a taste, I'm sure. They'll realize that this is where that wellspring of water is. This is where that bread is. I know where the supply is. Oh, it's with God. Where's the supply of my joy? Oh, it's there with God because I know where to get it. Why don't you seek after it? Why don't you seek after the Lord? Take time to seek God. To stop and say, God, my heart is hard. I'm carnal. I'm not living as I ought to live for you today. I want you to revive my heart. I want to break up the fallow ground. And I know that it's now time to seek you, God. It's time. Oh, we want to see God do mighty things, but we want unwilling to seek Him. That is folly. That's sowing nothing and expecting to reap a harvest. But if we would seek God with all of our hearts, we will be found of Him. This is the promise of God. This is the truth of God. We can seek Him. And if we do seek Him, we will find Him. But we must seek Him. If we ever want to see God work in our midst, we must seek Him. If we're sick of seeing our loved ones lost and hard to the gospel, we must seek Him. If we're sick of seeing our beloved Christian brothers struggling in sin, we must seek Him. If we want to see God work in this community and in this city, we must seek Him. If we want God to break through in our family members, we must seek the Lord. We must seek Him. To think that God will move without the seeking of His people, it is a great folly. Why should God reward our slothfulness? Why would God reward our lack of desire to search after Him? We must seek Him with all of our hearts. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He says, for he that cometh unto God must believe that He is. And that He is the rewarder of them. Note the words here, that diligently seek Him. Diligently. That means you've got to seek Him, and we are called upon to seek Him earnestly. Earnestly. This is not a matter of clocking on and clocking off. This is a matter of the heart. Our hearts being absolutely wanting to see God and know God and experience God more so in our day-to-day life. Wanting to hear His blessed voice speak to our hearts, to be guided by Him into His will, to be led by Him in the way, to have victory in the areas of struggle, we must seek Him really earnestly. Why? Because when you seek Him earnestly, that is the expression of faith. You know, when we just seek the Lord in a very nominal and cold-hearted way, we are almost saying to God that maybe you're not there. You know what I'm saying? If you're there. But when we seek him earnestly, this is the expression of our faith. That God, not only do I know that you are, and that you are the one, and that you are there, but I know that you will reward them that diligently seek you. And that earnestness and that desire and that passion unto God will be blessed and rewarded of God. So break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. But notice the promise of God. It says here in verse number 12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Look at these words here, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Seek him till the rain comes. Seek him till the rain of righteousness is showered upon you. Seek him. You know, there's no harvest without the rain. Seek the Lord and he will pour out his blessing upon you. Psalm 85 verse 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Psalm 80 verse 3, turn us again, O God. Cause thy face to shine and we shall be saved. Turn us again, O Lord, O God, and cause thy face to shine. You notice those words here? Face to shine. That's like God looking down with a big smile on your heart. That's the beauty of it. When people seek after God, they know what it means to have the smile of God upon your life.
Amen.
When you just wake up, you walk with God, your heart's clear, your mind's clear, it's just you and the Lord, and all you could just picture, as it were, in your head, as if God is just shining down on you, smiling on you. They that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What does that mean? Those that seek God in secret. Those that come into the very presence of God, into the heart of God, into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus Christ and spend time in the presence of their Lord, they know what it means to have God's shadow hanging over them all day. And it's like a sweet smile. It's like almost when you get out in the sun and you sit out there and the sun just beams on you, the joy of your heart, the warmth of your soul, by knowing that the Lord is with you. Only come to those that break up the fallow ground. Only comes to those that seek the Lord earnestly. Then God will pour out his blessing, the blessing of his presence, the blessing of his power, and the blessing of his revival. Can I just say here, the people of Israel were as wicked can be. Perhaps they're doing things that are worse than what we've ever seen in this city here of Newcastle. But the time that they would break up the fallow ground, and I believe it starts with the people of God.
Yes.
Breaking up of the fallow ground. Understanding that it's time right now to seek the Lord, then God will say, okay, there it is. There it is, the blessing. Here it comes, the blessing. In fact, as we seek the Lord, we can expect the blessing. Expect it. Don't pray in a way which is not expecting God. If you're breaking up the fallow ground, if you're sowing seeds of righteousness, if you're doing all that God knows to do, pray in a way that expects the blessing. Expect it from God. One man said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And we need to be that kind of people that will do that. Look at verse number 13 in closing. Ye have ploughed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies. You see that here, the process, ploughing, reaping, fruit. Because, why? Thou didst trust in thy way. In the multitude of thy mighty men. Can I just say one thing? God is saying to them this. You have all these sins, but can I just put it down to one category? It's your own way. That's it. It's your way. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. My friend, you are either going your way today or you are going God's way. And if it's your way, you can expect the judgment and chastening hand of God, depending where you're at, if you're his child or not. But if you're going God's way, breaking up the fallow ground, sowing the seeds of righteousness, you can expect to reap mercy. And not only reap mercy, but if you would seek after God and lay hold of God, as Jacob did and said, he wrestled with the Lord that night as he wrestled with the Lord on the mount there. And he said, I will not let thee go until thou bless me. You know what he basically said? God, I'm sick of this nominal life. I need your blessing. I need you actively involved in my life because I cannot live otherwise. I need you to intervene, Lord. See, we're happy to go on with our day-to-day life, but do we ever get to the point where we hit the roadblock and say, I cannot go this way any longer unless God intervenes? That's when the beginning of seeking starts. When we realize that I can't go my way and everything I attempt to do will fail unless I seek after God and go His way, and He'll pour out the blessing. We know the song, there shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again, over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain, showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now as on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. We need mercy. Drops round us are falling. Hey, but are you pleading for the showers? It must be done through with an ordinary Christian experience that is just nominal. We must be through. What do? Break up the fallow ground. Sow seed of righteousness, seek His face, and watch out. The showers of blessing will come. The showers of blessing will come. They will come. Do you believe that? Let's pray.